طيب الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the principles of tafsir, the explanation of the Quran, and we gonna talk about the narrations, the qasas in the Quran. First of all, what is the linguistic meaning of qasas? Al-qasas meaning tatabbu' al-athar in Arabic, which means follow someone's tracks. To follow someone's track. Take for example what Allah says in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 64, the story of Musa with his servant boy, when they were looking for the meeting place with the Khidr, with Al-Khidr. قال الله تعالى فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا. Musa said, that is what we have been seeking. So they went back retracing their footsteps. So this is the meaning here, the linguistic meaning, retracing these footsteps, following someone's track. This is the linguistic meaning of qasas. فَارْتَدَّ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمَا قَصَصَا. So they went back retracing their footsteps. قَصَصَا. Okay. Now, Islamically, it is relating a matter that occurs in stages, its parts following one another. This is the meaning, this is the Islamic meaning of the term qasas, the legal meaning. Relating a matter that occurs in stages, its parts follow one another. Are these clear, inshallah, the linguistic and the legal meaning for the term qasas? Now, the qasas, the narrations in the Quran are qualified with the following qualities. Number one, they are أصدق القصص, the most truthful of narrations. They are the most truthful of narrations, because as Allah described His speech in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in 4:87, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا. So they represent the most truthful narrations. And who is truer in statement than Allah? This is the point of evidence. And who is truer in statement than Allah? Secondly, they represent Ahsanul Qasas, the best of narrations. Not only the truer narrations, rather also the best of narrations. As Allah stated in Surah Yusuf in chapter 12:3, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. We relate unto you, O Muhammad, the best of stories. See, Allah described them, the best of stories, through our revelations unto you of this Quran. Why it is the best? Because it comprises the highest degree of perfection in eloquency and magnificent meanings. Thirdly, they represent the most beneficial narrations or stories. أَنْفَعُ الْقَصَصِ. So they are أَصْدَقُ الْقَصَصِ, the truer. أَحْسَنُ الْقَصَصِ, the best. Their most beneficial, أَنْفَعُ الْقَصَصِ. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Yusuf 12:111, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. There are lessons, there are benefits to learn. They are not just mentioned like that, just like that, for no reason. Indeed, in their stories, there is a lesson for men of understanding. There is a lesson for men of understanding. Why? Because of its influence in correcting the heart and actions and morality. And the narrations in the Quran are of three types. The narrations in the Quran are of three types. One type relating the stories of the prophets and messengers and what occurred between them and the believers as well as the disbelievers. And the most abbreviated yet most and from the most influential chapters in this regard is Surah Al-Qamar 54. Very much effective. This is the first type. The second type pertains to individuals or groups, and whatever occurred to them, there is benefit and there is lesson, or there are lessons. Like, for example, the story of Maryam, Mary, the story of Luqman, and the story of the man who came, as in Surah Al-Baqarah, in 259, and which we'll refer to also in a while, the story of Qarun, the story of the people of the Kahf, of the cave, the story of the people of the field, of the elephant, and the story of the people of the ditch, and the story of the Dhulqarnain, who was supervising the kingdom in the east and the west. So the second one is, the second type of narrations refer to individuals or groups whereby there was, and there are important lessons to learn. Like, for example, the story of Maryam, Mary, the story of Luqman, the story of Dhulqarnain, the story of Qarun, the story of the people of the cave, the story of the people of the field, of the elephant, the story of the people of the ditch, and the story of the man in Surah Al-Baqarah 259, the one who passed by a town and it had tumbled over its roofs, or like the one who passed by a town and it had tumbled over its roofs, أو كالذي مر على قرية وهي خاوية على عروشها. What did he say? He said, oh, how will Allah ever bring it to life after its death? قال أن يحيي هذه الله بعد موتها فأماته الله مئة عام. So Allah caused him to die for 100 years. ثم بعثه. He then raised him up again. قال كم لبثت. He said, how long did you remain dead? He said, قال لبثت يوما أو بعض يوم. He said, perhaps I remained dead a day or part of a day. قال بل لبثت مئة عام. عليكم السلام. قال بل لبثت مئة عام. He said, nay. Allah said, nay, you have remained dead for 100 years. فانظر إلى طعامك وشرابك لم يتسنى. So look at your food and your drink. They show no change. وانظر إلى حمارك ولنجعلك آية للناس. And look at your donkey. And thus we have made you of a sign for the people. وانظر إلى العظام كيف ننشزها ثم نكسوها لحما. Then look at the bones, how we bring them together and clothe them with flesh. فلما تبين له قال أعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير. When this was clearly shown to him, he said, I know now that Allah is able to do all things. So in this story there is a lesson that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings life to the dead. And in this surah, I would like you to know this very important benefit, inshallah. In this surah, in chapter 2 of the Quran, chapter 2 contains, and I would like you, this is an assignment, this is an extra assignment. The Quran in chapter 2 contains 5 narrations concerning giving life to the dead. I would like you to bring these verses, inshallah, tomorrow. 5 verses, 5 places in Surah Al-Baqarah where there are narrations concerning bringing life to the dead. 5 places. So try to, inshallah, focus on this and bring it tomorrow, inshallah. So this is the second type of narrations. The third type of narrations concerning certain occurrences and certain people at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, like the story of the Battle of Badr and the Battle of Uhud and the Battle of Al-Ahzab and that of Bani Qurayza wa Bani Nadir wa Zayd bin Haritha and the story of Abi Lahab and many. There are so much wisdoms in the narrations that are present in the Quran. From these wisdoms, number one, showing the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what is contained in these narrations. For example, Allah states in Surah Al-Qamar 54, verse 4, وَلَقَدْ جَاءَهُمْ مِنَ الْأَنْبَاءِ مَا فِيهِ مُزْدَجَرْ حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ فَمَا تُغْنِ النُّذُرْ. And indeed, there has come to them news in the Quran wherein there is enough warning to check them from evil. The second verse, please. حِكْمَةٌ بَالِغَةٌ. Perfect wisdom by preaching of warners, or but of the preaching of warners benefit them not. Secondly, manifesting the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning the punishment of those who belied and denied. As in Surah Hud 11:101, وَمَا ظَلَمْنَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمُ الَّتِي يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَتُهُمْ الَّتِي يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ لَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُ رَبِّكَ. We wrong them not, but they wrong themselves. So their aliha, their gods other than Allah, whom they invoked, profited them not when there came the command of your Lord, nor did they add to their lot but destruction. Thirdly, making clear the favor of Allah upon the believers and the reward He bestows upon them. Look at this in Surah Al-Qamar 'Illa ala lutin najjaynahum bisahar ni'matan min 'indina kadhalika najzi man shakar 'Illa ala lutin najjaynahum bisahar. Ya Surah Al-Qamar verse 34. Surah Al-Qamar is 54. Yes, verily we sent against them a violent storm of stones which destroyed them, except the family of Lot, whom we have saved in the last hour of night. Then Allah said, نِعْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. This is the point of evidence. نِعْمَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِنَا. So in telling the story of Lot, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing his favors upon the believers by rewarding them as a favor. Here's the point. As a favor from us. Thus do we reward him who gives thanks by obeying us. So in the story of Lot, therefore, there is a wisdom of showing the favors of Allah in the reward He bestows upon the believers. The fourth wisdom in the narrations is comforting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to the hurt that occurred to him by the disbelievers. Listen to the following verse as an example. Surah Fatir, which is Surah 35, verse 25. وَإِن يُكَذِّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ جَاءَتْهُمْ رُسُلُهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَبِالزُّبُرِ وَبِالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَكَيْفَ كَانَ نَكِيرٌ. And if they belie you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, those before them also belied. Their messengers came to them with clear signs and with the scriptures and the book giving light. So there is comforting to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام here. The fifth wisdom in the narrations of the Quran is inciting the believers to be firm on their iman and to increase this iman, making this known to them, giving this incitation, especially if Allah makes it known to them that He saved the believers before them and that Allah gave victory to those who executed His command in jihad, because He subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in Surah Al-Anbiya, for example, 21 verse 88, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So we answered his call and delivered him from the distress, and thus we saw deliver the believers. Here's the point of evidence. And thus we do deliver the believers who believe in the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from evil. Also take as an evidence to this point in Surah Ar-Rum, chapter 30, verse 47. Allah Ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ رُسُلًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِمْ فَجَاءُوهُمْ بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ فَانْتَقَمْنَا مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And indeed we did send messengers before you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to their peoples. They came to them with clear proofs. Then we took vengeance on those who committed crimes from the disbelievers, and as for the believers, it was incumbent upon us to help them and give them victory. The sixth element of wisdom in having the narrations of the Quran is warning the kafirs, the disbelievers, from continuous disbelief. Take for example in Surah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 47 verse 10. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَيَنْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ دَمَّرَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَمْثَالُهَا. Have they not traveled through the earth and seen what was the end of those before them? Allah destroyed them completely, and a similar fate awaits the disbelievers. So there's a warning from telling the stories regarding the fate of the disbelievers. The seventh wisdom in having the narrations in the Quran is affirming the message of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is because the news of the previous nations is only known to Allah the Most High. listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this respect in Surah Hud 11:49. تلك من أنباء الغيب نوحيها إليك ما كنت تعلمها أنت ولا قومك من قبل هذا. This is of the news of the unseen which we reveal unto you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Neither you nor your people knew them before this. So be patient. Surely the good end is for the muttaqeen, the pious, the righteous. Also take Surah Ibrahim, also verse 9. أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَبَأُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ قَوْمِ نُوحٍ وَعَادٍ وَثَمُودَ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَا يَعْلَمُهُمْ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Has not the news reached you of those before you, the people of Nuh, and Ad, and Samud, and those after them? None knows them but Allah. To them came their messengers with clear proofs, but they put their hands in their mouths, biting them from anger, and said, verily we disbelieve in that within which you have been sent, and we are really in grave doubt as to that to which you invite us, O Muhammad. So these are seven wisdoms behind the narrations in the Quran. Now, as you can tell also, the Quran involves a repetition of the narrations. Some of the narrations comes once only, is mentioned one time. Like, for example, the story of Luqman and the story of the people of the cave. Others, however, come in repetitious form, in as much as it is needed and as well as entailed in terms of the benefit sought. And this repetition is not identical, rather it differs in length and shortness, in intensity and mildness. And in mentioning some parts of the story in some place, not mentioned in another. The wisdom, or from the wisdoms behind such a repetition, are the following points. First, exemplifying the importance of this particular narration, because its repetition indicates that it deserved a special care. Secondly, affirming such a story so that it settles in the hearts of people. Thirdly, taking into consideration the timing and the conditions of those addressed by such a story. That's why you find abbreviation and intensity in the narrations mentioned in the Meccan surahs, and the opposite is true in the Medinite revelations. Fourthly, making clear the eloquency of the Quran in presenting the stories in certain ways or certain angles as necessitated by the conditions. Fifthly, manifesting the truthness of the Quran, and that the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because these narrations vary without contradiction. And it is mostly the case that if people narrate and repeat narrations, you will find them lying or introducing things that are contradictory during the repetitions. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best and perfect example. So this brings the end now of the topic principles of tafsir, explanation of the Quran, narrations and their wisdoms in the Quran. Inshallah ta'ala, when I return, we'll talk about the Israelite stories or the Israelites, which is called as Al-Israeliyat, the Israelite news, and what are they and how, what is the position of Muslims towards these news. This will be inshallah in about 10 minutes after I return, so we'll take a break now inshallah ta'ala.